We are told in Ezra chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, that Ezra devoted himself to the study and observance of the law. His dedication is an example for us, and Brother David Johnson will speak about this today on this Words of Life program. We are presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you the great gospel message of Jesus Christ. We will be blessed today as we listen. First, we praise our Lord with song.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day, I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
Friends, please pray with me. Lord, it is with gratitude of heart that we bow before you in prayer. Thank you for the salvation that is found only in the redemptive love of Jesus. It's hard for us to fully comprehend the extent of your love, but we thank you. Please help each of our listeners to know Jesus as Savior and help also to meet their personal needs and health needs. We likewise pray for the effectiveness of this broadcast and all other efforts that serve you. Father, when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Based on Ezra chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, Brother David Johnson will present Study and Observance.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Study and Observance. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Ezra. E-Z-R-A, Ezra, chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. Please listen to the Word of God. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was with him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. In the summer of the year of our Lord 1940 in the United States, a sleek new bridge spanned the Tacoma Narrows up in the northwestern part of the country in the state of Washington. The Tacoma Narrows, a passage within the inland waters of the Puget Sound in the state of Washington. Suspended between two rocky and forested places, it promised a shorter route to Washington State's Olympic Peninsula and to the naval shipyards at Bremerton. Its slender ribbon of roadway represented the latest in engineering theory and aesthetic design. 4 months later, as autumn came, moderate winds blew through the channel. The bridge began to vibrate up and down. In November, the bridge's movements grew in magnitude. Alarmed, the authorities closed the bridge. The bridge danced around until a 600-foot section of pavement jerked free and fell down into the water. Despite its elegant appearance, the bridge's structural integrity was flawed. The engineers used only a fraction of the standard stiffening depth and constructed the road too narrow for its length. The bridge could not withstand even moderate winds. It failed because it was too flexible. I share that, as we shall see. Ezra, Judah's priest and teacher, well versed in the law of Moses, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6, stood in the gap as a sturdy bridge between the Jewish community and the Persian Empire of his day. Ezra was a man of exceptional character, resolute in his study and observance of God's law. Ezra was not like many of the Levitical priests who were flawed in their integrity. Those without a genuine commitment to God and his standards through knowledge and obedience to his word were without the stabilizing depth that godly knowledge and character provides. Many become blown here and there by every wind of teaching, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Such a person can swing dangerously out of control from God's word and God's way. Without correction, he may even wrench loose from the cords of faith and have a destructive fall. Ezra, however, is a model for the believer today. His inner spirit and outer practices conformed to the high standards of holiness set by God. Ezra embodied a proper proportion of study of God's word with its personal application in his life. Godly character maintains inner strength to withstand outer pressures. Christians today need depth of biblical knowledge lived out in their daily lives. Let's get to know a little more about Ezra in our study text, Ezra chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. This section in the book of Ezra covers the return of the second group of Jews to Judah and Jerusalem after having been exiled from the land of their forefathers, led by Ezra the priest, Levitical priest, about 458 B.C., 458 before Christ, verses 8 and 9. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was with him, or on him. So, the trip took exactly 4 months, covering almost 1,000 miles through primarily harsh and treacherous lands. The caravan started according to the Jewish calendar in our March-April and arrived in July-August. Their safe travel was attributed to God's guidance and protection in Ezra as leader of his people. The next verse reveals in large measure why, quote, the gracious hand of his God was on him, end quote. Verse 10, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Note also Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6, which says, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The original Hebrew word translated here as teacher is a broad word, a broad term that means recorder, scribe, or secretary. Ezra was undoubtedly a scribe, referring to a very learned man who could also teach what he read in God's law. Well versed means skillful. We should understand that Ezra's role as a skillful scribe was critical to reinstate Israel, since the leaders had to go back to the law and interpret it. This was no small task, because many aspects of Jewish law had changed in the intervening 1,000 years since the law was first given to Moses, or thereabouts. Jewish tradition states that Ezra had the law memorized and could write it all from recall. That Ezra, quote, devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, end quote, literally means from the Hebrew that he set his heart firmly. That is, that Ezra was inwardly determined. His determination was directed toward three things: studying God's law, obeying God's law, and teaching God's law to others. That can only result in a godly life. Of course, it was not all about Ezra. Most significantly, he was blessed because, quote, the gracious hand of his God was on him, end quote, as Ezra especially lived out God's word. God's word was incarnated, was part of him, was made to bear fruit in his life in a godly way. This imperative is God's will for every believer. Ezra, or anyone today who is skilled in scholarship and or knowledge of the word of God, is a failure, an abject failure, if he or she does not also live according to the biblical mandates and spirit of God's will, as recorded in the Word of God. A balance can be struck with a devotion to God's biblical wisdom and a personal commitment to godly living, and even a desire to teach, to share, to witness God's truths with others. Ezra's primary achievement needed in his day was restoring the law of God as the standard for knowledge and conduct. This is certainly also needed today. As the Apostle Paul wrote, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. In our own efforts to first understand biblical truth, in order to then apply its principles, its precepts, its promises, and prophecies to our daily lives, we need to know two basic methods and standards. These two basics must be followed in order to guard against error or misinterpretation of Scripture. First, since men wrote the Bible, we should seek the meaning of the text in the same way we would any other piece of writing. The tools of language and literature follow regular processes, and so we should not discard them when reading the Bible. As David L. Cooper of the Biblical Research Society wrote, quote, "When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Take every word at its primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning. Unless the facts of the immediate context, studied in the light of related passages and self-evident and fundamental truths, indicate clearly otherwise." End quote. In other words, unless Scripture directs otherwise, the words used in the Bible should be understood in their common accepted meanings. Scripture interprets Scripture, and if neither the author nor any other biblical text qualifies, interprets, or points to secondary meanings, we should not seek any other meanings either. The second basic standard, context, controls interpretation. The intent of the author regulates our understanding. Here, in context, there are three main contexts to consider. A. The context of the whole book, the whole biblical book. To whom was it written? And what was the author's purpose in writing? For example, the intent of the book of Romans is very different from the book of James. Paul wrote to Romans to proclaim salvation as God's work of grace through faith in Christ. However, James wrote in order to combat particular heresies and to defend salvation as inseparable from works, but as the fruit, the works as a fruit, not the root of salvation. Both authors had particular audiences in mind, and both addressed specific needs. Even so, both writers, Paul and James, presented harmonious truth. They did not contradict. It is crucial to understand the perspective and purpose of the author, and then relate it to the other clear teachings in Scripture on the very same subject. B. The context of the paragraph or immediate passage. What do the surrounding verses say? What is the issue or event current to the time in which it was written? Often word studies prove beneficial when interpreting a particular text, but historical background and social content can also aid understanding. C. The context of the entire Bible itself. Context, context, context. The context of the immediate book, the context of the immediate paragraph, and the context of the entire Bible. Scripture never ever contradicts itself. Why? Because it is God-breathed, inspired of God, and God never contradicts himself. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Ezra was devoted to knowing and practicing the law, as well as teaching the Jewish people in its meaning and requirements. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Though particular stipulations of Mosaic law no longer apply since their fulfillment was completed in Christ, the Word of God continues as the basis for life and godliness. To study the Bible carefully and then to apply its message diligently are to personally apply its message diligently are essential for all believers. So Christians are to continue to study and observe, that is, obey God's word unto godliness. The Bible is not difficult to understand in many of its areas and many of its content, especially regarding the core gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, to those who genuinely put their repentant faith in Him and His work on the cross to atone for our sin, and then to be baptized into Christ and live for Him because He died for us. The Word of God is essential, especially, of course, for the believer, but also to bring the alien sinner unto the Lord as convicted by the Holy Spirit. May you, as either a believer or an unbeliever, consider closely the Word of God and live according to its principles.
sweeping the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to
It's interesting how study of the Old Testament can help us to learn about Jesus. We pray that you are a Christian serving our Lord. If you are not, we remind you that you must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Bible examples and instruction also show us that we are to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. If you would like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, please request broadcast number 2351. That's 2351. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.